Somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps.
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media.
Is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from his Votes for Damas.
Of course that Kevin show is going to be great. The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be that Donald show. But we don't have that, so we have that Kevin show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. Still to come, cruel and unusual punishment. Kelsey Bowler from the Independent Women's Forum. Assignment Desk Weekend, Biden wants to be a millionaire, and the Holderness family. And back in the spotlight, it's Zach and Dolly. And now, from Times Square, where all the top models get ghosted by finance guys who do improv and move to Hoboken, here's the...
All right, so glad you're with us. Dave?
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yep.
Go to the breaking news. Okay, breaking news.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Trump's won another victory tonight. He's
Big
won
win.
The Northern Mariana Islands.
Yep.
Dave, do we know where that is?
North of Guam.
Oh, north of Guam.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it looks like another big win, the decision desk calling it. But the former president taking the very competitive race of the Northern Mariana Islands tonight, which is harder than it looks.
Indeed.
For Assignment Desk Weekend, I'm Kevin McCullough. Breaking news to start. In a stunning change of circumstance, President Biden has simultaneously this weekend withdrawn from the race for the White House, announced a change of residency, and announced a candidacy for a new elected office.
Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Now, in order for Pennsylvania to send the president to Congress, he must move from Delaware and open a formal congressional campaign. The prosecutor in the RICO 19 case in Georgia, D.A. Fannie Willis, seen here, either attempting to solve the Daily Wordle or penning her Dear John letter to Nathan Wade, has been viciously punished for lying to a presiding judge, convoluting readily apparent conflicts of interest, and corruptly using state funds to order up some Napa Valley booty calls. How vicious was the sentencing? Well, all of the following. She must remain in her post, retain her full salary, and continue her fake investigation into the former president. She must, however, dismiss her love interest from the prosecution work that she's involved in. It has come to Assignment Desk Weekend's attention that Pete Davidson, upon hearing the news, has already boarded a plane headed to Georgia. A woman has been banned from the Gym of No Judgment. The woman was surprised when she recently entered her local Planet Fitness and was assaulted by the sight of an aroused male shaving his legs fully nude in the women's locker room. She snapped a shot of the misplaced member to prove to management what was actually happening. In response, the gym immediately canceled the woman's membership for violating the no cameras policy in the locker rooms. The gym has had no response, though Assignment Desk Weekend has inquired about the policy that bans male anatomy from women's locker rooms. We'll report back if we hear anything. Planet Fitness promised a formal statement when the executive who could address the matter was finished shaving his legs. And finally, President Biden has had enough. Forget about the entire State of the Union address. Forget about Ukraine or Israel, terrorism, the continuing economic woes, education, gender theory in schools, immigration, the border, terrorism, fentanyl. Forget about all of that. No, the commander-in-chief has had it with America's newest, biggest, most serious problem, which is why he's now attempting to force McDonald's with busted soft serve machines to get them repaired or face fines. Very serious. An update. Once the president discovered that the Dairy Queen across the street also served soft serve, he decided to give the McDonald's franchises more time to address the issue. He was last seen being hurried away from reporters calling out, "But I wanted the Choco Vanilla Twist!" For Assignment Desk Weekend, I'm Kevin McCullough.
Welcome to the show, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dave.
My name's Regis.
Okay.
Now, Mr. President, you're here to raise money for Alzheimer's awareness. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I'm here to raise money to help find a cure for Alzheimer's because I have what's called a vested interest, Dave.
Regis.
Okay.
All right then, Mr. President. Let's play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Question one for $100, usually an easy one, don't worry. The USA is an acronym of the following phrase: the United States of A, Israel, B, Armenia, C, Iran, D, America.
Ooh, tough one. Looks like I'm gonna have to phone a friend.
Good one, Mr. President.
Yeah, no, seriously though, I'm gonna need some help here.
Okay, who would you like to call?
Let's try Mitch McConnell.
And where is Mitch calling from, Mr. President?
He's calling from right here in the United States of America.
The United States of America?
Yeah.
Well, before we start the clock, would you care to explain how Mitch McConnell, a Republican, is on your list as a phone-a-friend?
Well, you see, Sam.
Regis,
it's true that Mitch and I are both in different political parties, but it's important for us all to remember that although he may be a Republican and I may be a Democrat, at the end of the day, we're both members of the Uniparty.
We have Mitch on the line now, Mr. President, and your time starts now.
Mitch, the U.S. acronym of the following states: A, Iran; B, Armani; 4, Iraq; 7, in Iraq.
Sorry, Joe, I didn't quite catch that. Can you repeat it?
The U.S. acronym is the following states: the United States, Israel; 2, A, Armenia; C, Irash; if the foot has the Himalayas.
Joe, I have no idea what you're saying.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Mitch is asking you what the A in USA stands for.
Oh, that's easy. It's...
Mitch, are you there? His connection must have froze or something.
Give me the 50-50.
Mr. President.
Say, give me the 50-50, damn it.
All right, computer, take away two wrong answers and leave Joe with the correct answer and one remaining wrong answer.
Well, okay, I was leaning towards Armenia, so now I really don't know what to think.
I mean, you could always ask the audience.
And let a public vote make an important decision? I don't think so, pal.
Well, you know, most people find it a pretty useful lifeline, so...
Just shut up and let me think for a second. Think, Joe, think. The United States, the U.S. That's the United States, the U.S., U.S.A. That's it. The answer is A. A, final answer.
Joe, you had $0, and I'm afraid you still have $0. It's the wrong answer. It is, of course, the United States of America, not the United States of Israel.
You sure about that?
Box of replacement toilet flappers came to your porch today. You put the empty box on the table there. You didn't throw it away because it's a pretty good box. You never know what the future brings, but yeah, it's a pretty good box. You may have to return something. You could break it down and put it in the bin, but you really never know because it's a pretty good box. And so you put it where all the other pretty good boxes go. Right here, you see, it's a pretty good box, purgatory. The bin is literally 2 feet away, but you might need those boxes someday.
Ready or not, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Times Square and Kevin McCullough, That Kevin Show. We oftentimes try to have the weekend be a little bit lighthearted, a little bit of fun. That's why we have Assignment Desk Weekend and all the comedic elements. But we do have to talk about some serious things from time to time. And my next guest is no stranger to the world of the serious, because she's been fighting for women and their rights in very bold ways in recent years. And doing all of that while becoming a mom three times over herself. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Kelsey Bowler. Hello, Kelsey.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Every few years, it seems like, you have a new film project that sometimes is a larger piece, sometimes it's broken up into smaller pieces, and we were talking on the radio show not long ago about a new project that's underway, and this weekend you're releasing the second installment of it. What is it about?
So this is a mini documentary series that's free for anybody to watch on IWF's YouTube account called Cruel and Unusual Punishment, The Male Takeover of Female Prisons. And it tells the stories of the ways in which female inmates have been harmed and victimized by policies that allow men who identify as transgender or gender non-binary access into women's prisons. All they have to do in states like California is simply declare that they are a woman, and the state will treat them as such and place them not just into the women's prisons, but inside the cells, the living cells with female inmates at night. For those who have no experience inside a women's prison facility, cells in California, for example, house typically 8 women in one very small space that was originally designed to house 4 women. They added bunk beds so that they could accommodate more women. They share a toilet, a shower, and, you know, very tight living space. And at night, these doors are locked. So we now have men, many of whom are predatory men convicted of incredibly heinous crimes, child molestation, crimes against women, domestic violence, murder, the worst types of crimes you can think of. These men are now behind closed doors with women, with the doors locked at night, and the women are being silenced. Nobody has given a voice. Nobody has stopped to ask these women, how are these new California policies affecting you? Independent Women's Forum, we're trying to change that. We are exposing the harms that these policies are having on women, not just in California. Men are being housed in female prisons all across the country at this point. And it's about time that we start talking about it.
Okay, a couple of thoughts. And this is a very important subject, but this is the second kind of gender-related docu-series that you've done in a row with the Independent Women's Forum. And I guess I want to pull the lens back to the 35,000-foot perspective for a moment before we zoom back in on this particular issue. But what happened, Kelsey? Like, 4 years ago, this stuff was not, it was not on most people's radar screen. And now it's like the screeningest, loudest headline of almost every day, month, and week that something new has happened in some way that is injuring women because of this trans issue. And whether it's robbing women of legitimate championships and scholarships and so forth on the athletic level, whether it's taking kids away from parents who would otherwise be in loving, affirming relationships with these children, trying to help them figure out what life really does mean, instead of trying to get them to pretend that their body is insignificant and they should just change it. To this issue, where did this come from? Why all of a sudden is this like the number one gravitational issue that seems to be upending everything?
Yeah, well, taking a step back, I think after the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage took effect, the very well-funded activists had to figure out their next victim class. And so they moved on from the LGB to the T. And let's be very clear, there's a very distinct difference in separation between the LGB and the T. And actually, in many ways, the policies regarding individuals who identify as transgender are actually victimizing disproportionate numbers of young Americans who identify as lesbian or gay. You know, these are kids who are getting brainwashed to believe that they were born in the wrong body, as if there could be such thing, when really perhaps they're just gay, perhaps they're just a lesbian, but instead they're now being pushed down the path to medicalize their bodies. And these activists became so empowered and they were so well-funded that they were able to have a stronghold on our politicians and implement the policies that they wanted in regards to the T sector of the population. Meanwhile, the rest of the public was either silent, went along with it, or actively cheered it on.
Well, nobody wants to be called names. So they
exactly, and I think there's so much sort of trauma and remorse from the ways historically gay and lesbian Americans have been treated that nobody wanted to treat, you know, individuals who identified as transgender any differently. And so they not only wanted to accept them, they wanted to celebrate them without realizing that this is a completely separate issue. You know, being gay, like, does not put a child down a medical path of becoming a lifelong medical patient and potentially shortening that child's life, stripping that child from the ability to have a normal sex life, stripping that child of potentially the ability to ever have their own children. So these are totally separate issues, but I think that's why for so long activists have gotten away with implementing these sorts of policies. And we're only now taking a step back to really understand and bring light to the ways in which they are impacting different sectors of our population, many of whom are victims to begin with inside women's prisons, for example. 92% of female inmates are victims of domestic violence, abuse, something of that nature. These are already women who have been victimized, many of whom, not all, of course, but many of whom who are trying to turn their lives around, get out of prison, you know, find remorse and forgiveness for the reasons that landed them in prison in the first place. And all of a sudden they are being re-traumatized by being forced to share a bunk bed with a violent, predatory male. It is so wrong. I think I hope that this shedding light on this, you know, brings some attention to it and makes, you know, the average person step back and say, yeah, that's probably not a smart thing to do.
Well,
or a compassionate thing to do.
I want to make sure people understand. You can go to IWF.org and see the first installment of this episode right now. And this very weekend, the second episode is being released. So you should find two episodes there. But IWF.org is where you would find that. We're going to continue with Kelsey Bowler momentarily here on That Kevin Show.
Kevin McCullough. McCullough.
Welcome back, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us. And yet to come, the second installment of the New Music Spotlight, the Music Spotlight stage. We'll be getting to that before the end of the hour. We will also be bringing to you in large measure much of the first episode of the docuseries that we're talking about in our next segment that Kelsey Bowler is here joining us to discuss. This issue of cruel and unusual punishment, women that are behind bars serving time for crimes that they've already been found guilty of, being re-traumatized by having male inmates added to their population. And not just anybody, a lot of the males that are coming into these prisons happen to be convicted of predatory crimes themselves, murder, rape, sexual assault, etc. Kelsey, before the break, you were giving me your idea of why the gender issue has jettisoned to the top of the pack. I think of people like Megyn Kelly, who I used to do her show regularly when she was on in the afternoons at Fox, and we would have conversations from time to time off air about some of the big social stuff that we were talking about. And at the time, she was a big proponent of trans rights and the idea of equal treatment and so forth. She has very publicly and very compassionately come out in recent years, I think largely to the work of IWF and some others that helped open her eyes, but she has seen the damage that this is doing across the board. You mentioned the separation between the gay lesbian issue and the trans issue. That is certainly very evident in the trans exclusionary radical feminist movement, the TERFs, that are actually standing with pro-family forces on the side of opposing some of these issues. It seems as though this administration has had a strong desire to push this and push this hard. Is there any momentum in this election cycle that the opponents of these policies can gain through either side of the candidacies? Do you see either side talking about it in a way that would bring resolution to some of this?
There's hope. I am hopeful that the tide is turning on this issue, that parents, that Americans across the country are starting to get on board with the ways in which sort of the gender medicine side of this has been exposed to be completely fraudulent, to be incredibly harmful to children. What I'm not as convinced about is whether they understand the link between sort of affirming a child's gender identity during the younger years and how that puts them directly on the path towards medicalization. But more and more Americans are being impacted by this issue. We now, you know, IWF used to be out there kind of alone advocating for keeping women's sports female. Now my team cannot keep up with the number of parents and athletes who reach out to us with stories. We used to try to tell every single one of these stories. Now it's so prevalent across the country, we can't even keep up. Mm. So the more people who are being impacted means the more girls and women who are being outspoken on this issue, standing up for biological truth, biological reality. Women's sports bills have passed in quite a number of states at this point. But of course, you know, on the national level, we do still have the Biden administration completely dug into this, trying to perverse Title IX, trying to change, can't even tell us what the definition of a woman is. So there's unfortunately a lot of work we still need to do. But every day, you know, I see these small steps being taken to right these wrongs. Most recently, of course, I'm sure you talked about the ways that WPATH have exposed that this really is an experimentation, a medical experimentation on children. But, you know, there's a fear of speaking out about these issues still. I've seen that through my work. I've seen that for years. And we need power numbers. You know, we need more Riley Gaines, you know, out there bravely standing up for what they know is right.
Well, as best as you can come up with the stories, we will be faithful to tell them here. And that's been a commitment I've had with you specifically since going back to the Connecticut high school track girls that were losing scholarships and losing out on state records because simple boys were running in their races, shattering their hopes for any of those things to occur. I guess I am hopeful as well. There seems to be a lot on the plate for the voters to deal with this go around, and I don't want this to get lost in the muddle. Kelsey, I always appreciate you being with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. IWF.org, IWF.org. Coming right back.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
Here's just a sneak peek of the brand new installment of Cruel and Unusual Punishment from the Independent Women's Forum.
So my name is Jennifer, and I'm formerly incarcerated. I did 15 years on a 22-year sentence. Growing up, I suppressed a lot of anger. There was some sexual trauma going on as an adolescent. And so I just took to doing drugs, and I took to the streets, which the gang lifestyle embraced me. So I found like a sense of home there. And one thing led to another. And I was incarcerated for attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, and gang enhancements. I was incarcerated at Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla, California. I would get up early in the morning, read my Bible. Now I would go to work at the dental lab, and I was a full-time employee there. And then I went to college at night. The transgender inmates started coming, I want to say during COVID. They were just slowly being incorporated into general population. We're getting the predators, people who have been incarcerated for rape, men who have been incarcerated for oral copulation, men who have been incarcerated for crimes against women. We were very nervous, angry. We weren't given a voice. I'm kind of a tough girl, so I know I could stand my ground. But living in such close quarters with someone of the opposite sex, when we have a shower and the toilet is in the same room and the door is locked at night, it's a little intimidating, not knowing what to expect. But it would be nice to be included in such a drastic change that was happening in the women's facility at the time. Ava Reeves. We came home from work and she was there. They moved one of our roommates out and moved Ava in. Ava's very tall and has had physical altercations with women. Immediately, I went to our housing staff to voice my concern because Ava Reeves had a reputation that preceded her from a different yard. And we didn't want that type of person or activity in the room because we were all positive programming and trying to focus on getting home. The officer states their hands are tied. If we're so uncomfortable with living with that individual, that we could pack up and they would find us a new spot to live. And it seems like their rights overrode ours. If someone didn't want a transgender man in their room, they were asked to move, then the transgender would have a room to themselves. And this room normally houses 8 women. So they were willing to move 7 women for 1 man for us, we would love to have a room to ourselves, because every day you're constantly around people. You have no peace of mind. There's no solitude in prison. So to be afforded a single cell, people would love to have that, but it was never afforded to the women. It was just to the men. One of our housing staff who was willing to try and make things work, because she knew it was uncomfortable and she didn't agree, but she stated that she couldn't speak up against the situation because of all the lawyers that were involved for the transgender men, and she wasn't willing to risk her job for us. But she did make some moves, so eventually a week later, Ava Reeves was able to move to a different room in the same unit. When the transgender men came over, it's like the women's rights were eliminated, and it became about the transgender rights. For example, we used to have a women's advisory council, and once the transgender men came, they changed the name to inmate advisory council. Prior to me being released, we started being referred to as incarcerated people. We're clearly getting the message that we as women don't have any rights and that we don't matter. SB 132 might have been geared for people in the free world, but once you put institution in place, it becomes something different. It becomes a catch-22 for the manipulators in the men's institution to seek refuge somewhere else. The majority of men who came from the men's facility into the women's facility all now have girlfriends, and they all live with them. There is a one man who came, and he wore pigtails and lipstick and pink shirts for the first 3 months. And after that, he cut his hair short, almost bald, and started wearing Levi's and white t-shirts to resemble a man again. I've got a girlfriend, live with her, and there is domestic violence there. Women who have been through trauma, women who have been through domestic violence situations, are at risk again. They've already suffered, committed their crime, and are trying to find healing, but now the healing is gone because now you have men in the institution and they have to start that process from square one. I don't speak against the trans community in a negative aspect. I speak out today for the women I left behind who don't have a voice. A lot of ladies there would love to speak out, but there comes retaliation, fear of the men, physical harm, fear of the lawyers, fear of losing their day to come home. What little rights that we did have as inmates have been diminished with the trans men who've come in. They're taking our voice, they're taking our rights, and they're taking our womanhood away from us.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough. Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's That Kevin Show.
Once again, to the music spotlight stage, Zach Williams and Dolly Parton.
Every time I try to make it on my, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus.
like a blessing buried in the broken pieces.
In coming weeks, very special programming surrounding the Easter celebration. It's all straight ahead in weeks to come.